In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We humans have many things in common. We have our common ancestry from Adam and even Noah. We have in common our sinful, fallen human nature. We all share together the same sun, same moon, stars, the same need for food, water, shelter. But we have another peculiar, rather funny thing in common. We all think that we're better at just about everything than just about everyone else. We think we know better and could do better than the politician, the waitress, the driver in front of you, behind you, beside you, all of them. The president, the mailman, the list goes on. We show that we have the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, as we never once consider that maybe, just maybe, the journalist, the president, that lawyer, that mailman that we criticize has more knowledge of the facts and more wisdom to act better with those facts than we do. Our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, is what Jesus says. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness that we think we have. We must be better by not seeing ourselves as better. We must be better by not merely not committing murder to keep from pulling the trigger on one who's innocent, but to truly be the better that God requires for entrance into the kingdom. You must keep your heart from any hatred. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This means that the moment that you got behind the steering wheel and judged those driving abilities of your neighbor, hidden conveniently within the confines of your own car, and you said out loud or in your heart, "You fool, you idiot, you moron, what have you," you became unworthy of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus does not qualify this. There certainly is context. He doesn't qualify it. He doesn't make it conditional. He doesn't say, well, since all people sin, therefore you get a free pass. No, the point that God would have us believe is we all are fallen, deserving of hell. To where our natural response then would be, what's the point then? With man, this must be impossible. And that's where God would have us, because with God, all things are possible through his better righteousness. What are we doing when we lob insults at one another? We're hating. Hatred of one for whom Christ died is worthy of the hellfire. Jesus is saying that I shed my blood for everyone, therefore, everyone is worthy of love. Thus, if we choose not to love, that is an offense against the Holy One. And just like it's not merely the avoidance of first-degree murder that would have us be not guilty under the fifth commandment, but hatred in our heart, so too, it's not merely the outward avoidance of calling people names and insults that would have us escape hell. Our hearts are poisoned with hatred. And left to ourselves and our own fulfilling of the law, we would be lost. Instead, our hearts require the full antidote of Christ and his righteousness. His perfect keeping of the law, both outward and inward, that satisfies that requirement to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. His righteousness exceeds all. He had his hatred pointed in the right direction, perfectly hating the devil, perfectly hated. Sin perfectly hated death, crying over it, weeping over it with Lazarus. Perfectly hated the circumstances of this world, and so by doing, perfectly loves you. Jesus, he never hated a single man created in his image, even if he hated the sinfulness of man who first hated him, and even if wrath, that is the result of unbelief unto eternity for those who don't repent, is hatred, but is after the fact, after the one has chosen to reject his love entirely. So Jesus is our model. We wish to do as Jesus would do, to never hate, as we are ones bought by his blood, regenerated in our baptisms, made new to be how God made us to be as he is, to be one who doesn't hate. But there is no comfort, of course, in the what would Jesus do thinking, that is simply setting our minds to do what he has done, and that would be my mantra for life, WWJD. None of us can meet such a standard to do as he does. For we have hated, we have grown angry, we have plotted. We've called people fools and even worse. We've entertained grudges and held on to them for years. God is the one slow to anger and abundant in steadfast love. We are the ones quick to judge, quick to anger, and to hold on to it for many years. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the atonement, for his is the righteousness. Because of his active obedience in never committing any fault against the law, ever tempted as you and I are, but never sinning, he fulfilled every demand. Born under the law, redeemed those who are under the law. He is worthy. He is the only one worthy for the kingdom of heaven, and being that only one worthy by the standard of the law, that makes his blood worthy to cover you under the law, failing, yet repentant under the law. That makes him worthy to get what he wants, and he wants nothing more than to cover your sin, cover your guilt, cover with his perfection, cover with his innocence, cover with his blood. He actively obeyed the Father, and he passively obeyed the Father, suffering that full punishment otherwise due to those who actually deserve such punishment. Jesus allowed the law to do to him what it should do to us. The law should be that only one in the world that could rightly say to you, you fool. But Jesus steps in, takes the verbal attacks, bears the weight of wrath, the wrath reserved for fools. Jesus ended the law's accusation against you and won your salvation to give you as a free gift, not without any merit or worthiness in you. God be praised that there is a solution for you, and it is by faith. You are freed from the curse of the law by he who bore that curse on your behalf on the tree. The law is no longer a curse for you, but a blessing. The law is good now, that as you walk in the law, having been liberated from the punishment of the law, you are now freed with joy to walk in the newness of life. You are freed to be guided by the law, that it not be something that terrifies you, but something you can truly delight in order to love God more, in order to love our neighbors more, further and further, until the day when we can no longer love with any stain of sin. For this law, surely as your old Adam clings to you, it does accuse you. And we wanted to accuse our old Adam, our sinful nature, so that we have something to confess on Sunday morning. But according to your new man, according to you and your identity as one who is baptized, the law no longer accuses, because you have been washed with the blood water of the mediator. Now, by baptism, you are privileged to be an adopted son of the Heavenly Father, so that you have that privilege, that inheritance, to even live this heavenly reality even now, as we delight to do good, desire to do good, and confess when we are weak and fail. The law is eternal. We will have the law in heaven, and we will delight to do the law. It was in there in the garden before the fall into sin. This law will be the law of New Jerusalem. But whereas before the law entered into the garden and because of sin led to the death of man, but it is now through the death of the new man that this law is now a blessing to us, giving us light, giving us guidance to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. God be praised that we have no consternation to sing, "These are the holy 10 commands." Indeed, we love the 10 commandments. And of course, while we remain in the flesh, we always have the great weakness. But since we have his blood, since we have the baptism that covers us, we can be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. You can wake up and remember your baptism. You can look at the Ten Commandments in the morning when you wake up and see it as your to-do list, not to earn God's favor for heaven's sake, but in order to be simply as God made you to be, and to be able to love as God desires for us to love. And get this, now that you're in Christ, as you desire to love. The law gives us the guidance, the lane to go down. To fear, love, and trust in the Lord is to be human, and is what God would have us do. To be human as God created you, to pray in times of need, in times of thanksgiving. To be human as God made you to be, to hear and rest in the word of life. To be human as our first man before the fall. To be completely liberated and freed is to love and respect our authorities, to serve and honor our parents. Those who God called to lay down their lives for you, you can serve with joy as you yourself lay down your life for those under your authority. Now you are freed to help and support your neighbor who is truly nay, truly near you, not a stranger hundreds of miles away on the internet. Sure, if there's opportunity to do a little thing here and there, fine. But you are now able to be human with your incarnate man in your neighbor who is truly nay. To be human, to cleave to your opposite sex, government registered husband or wife, to be chaste if the Lord has caused you to singleness or even widowhood, and to support and honor marriage of others. You are free to be human, to rejoice in the many possessions that others have. That is to say, that you help them to keep it and help them to increase in their possessions, and to then find contentment as well in the possessions that you have. To be human, to explain everything in the kindest way about every other human, to not tell lies against them, to not slander them or betray them, is to be human as God made you to be human, and to encourage one another in their callings that they have. We love these 10 commands. And according to the weakness that we have with these Ten Commands, in the name of Christ, you are forgiven in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, as he gives in Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and John 20, I forgive you of all your sins. For according to the name of Christ, according to the new man that he has given you, you are made new. You are given the help of the Holy Spirit to grow in the new obedience of a loving son, of a loving father, to be able to live heaven now in anticipation of the time where you will be full, you will be complete, you will never have another temptation again, where you will then love that law perfectly with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, to love your neighbor as yourself. God grant that day to come soon. In Jesus' name, amen.